Hello and welcome, or welcome back to Fancy Weather Podcast. I am your host, Kirsty Taylor, and you have just entered the cozy podcast of your dreams, a podcast that is perfect for curing your Sunday scaries. And this week we are chatting to the lovely Anna, who is talking all about moving from Brazil to Edinburgh and discussing kind of the nuances of life and doing a master's degree and readjusting to a new life in a new city in your 20s. So it's a fun one. You're going to love it. We have recorded before, so if you're an old listener, you will be familiar with her being a guest in the past, and she always does such a great job. So you're going to love it. But for now, let's hop into our intro. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome or welcome back, as I already said in the little intro. So excited to be back. I'm sorry that there has been a bit of a break since the last episode. I just got really caught up with trying to figure out when I wanted the scheduling of everything to happen and working on the website, which is now launched. So check it out, fancyweather.com. To fit in with the rebrand, and I've been meeting with some incredible people to be guests on future episodes, and I've been enjoying the start of spring here in Edinburgh and also just kind of wrapping up work for the holidays, which is always very stressful. I'm officially on my second day of my holidays, and I've had my first duvet day in I don't even know how long, and it's the most incredible feeling ever. It feels so nice to do nothing for once. Yeah, that's kind of my life update. I'm going away tomorrow with my dad for a little dad-daughter trip. I'm very excited. We're going to like a lovely little cottage on the west coast. It's going to be a lovely, wholesome family time. So stay tuned for next week's episode because I will fill you in on that. We are now going to be posting weekly Sunday nights. The idea is that we're here to cure your Sunday scaries. Can of course listen any other day of the week, because really we have scaries every night of the week. Well, if you have a brain like mine, you do. So it is for any time, but we will be posting on Sunday nights. So yeah, stay tuned for more exciting episodes to come, but let's just jump into it. So also, I apologize for my voice. I think it is because I've had a duvet day and I haven't spoken to anyone all day. Make of that what you will. So my small wonder of the week this week, hilariously, something I have not taken advantage of at all today other than having my window open. But regardless, it is the extended daylight. When the clocks first went back an hour, went forward an hour, I was struggling. I was very tired. I know it's only 1 hour, you're saying, and you're like, it's only 1 hour. How did you even notice? Trust me, I noticed. I slept terrible. But I slept great last night. So finally my body is adjusting, and I'm so grateful for these light evenings. It's been so long coming, and it just makes me so much more motivated. I am a big winter cozy person, so it's not that I don't like the winter or anything. It's just really nice to have some daylight when I leave work. Not that that matters because I'm off for the next 2 weeks. But you know what I mean? It's really nice to have those evenings with the daylight, so it feels like it's not like the middle of the night when it's 7 p.m. So I'm just really enjoying that and trying to convince my class to keep the blinds open for longer so I can fully enjoy the daylight. But regardless, you get my point. Extended daylight is where it's at. That's what we're celebrating. That's what our small wonder is, what we're grateful for. For our gem of the city, I am going a little bit different. I know I've done, well, I have actually done a garden before, I guess. I've done like an outdoor space before. And Edinburgh is full of so many outdoor spaces. If you're coming here, even if it's a rainy day, you still just like need to get outside and walk around. And I'm shouting out an old favorite of mine, one that I have very big ties to emotionally due to like memories, etc. And it's Blackford Pond. I grew up going to Blackford Pond with my granddad and my great aunt and my parents, my brother, on the weekends when we would come and visit here. That was like our go-to place for walks and things like that. So it feels very like emotionally connected to me. There was kind of a long period of time when when I was grieving and didn't want to go there because it was too hard. But I was missing out because it's such a gorgeous, incredible pond. Watch out for the swans, though. They are lethal, they are brutal, they are violent. That's all I have to say on that. But gorgeous place, right next to Blackford Hill. Gorgeous view at the top of Blackford Hill. So I'm shouting it out. That is the gem of the city. Stay tuned for the TikTok to come later this week. We'll also be on Instagram, hopefully, showing you Blackford Pond. And then maybe if you've never even been to Edinburgh, it will inspire you to visit. And maybe if you live here and you've never been to Blackford Pond, it'll make you want to go. And maybe if you've been to Blackford Pond, you'll be like, oh, I want to go back there. I love that place. So yeah, that's what we have to say on that. The Korean essential was one brought up to me by my friend recently. We were having a conversation. I don't really know how it came into the conversation. An old friend from high school. And we somehow ended up on the topic of hot diluting juice. And this is such a Korean essential. I grew up with hot diluting juice being like my go-to comfort drink. I was never a big chocolate. Well, I'm still not a big chocolate gal. I like white chocolate, and I'm still on the hunt for the best white hot chocolate in Edinburgh, which I think I might actually make a TikTok series. So stay tuned. Exciting things come with that. I'm going to try like every white hot chocolate there is in this city and rate them all. And hopefully they have dairy-free ones as well. Not dairy-free chocolate, but like I need to like balance it out, because otherwise the IBS is not having fun. But maybe I just have to commit, like, because I normally would do an oat milk or coconut milk with the white hot chocolate, so it's like not as much dairy. But I might just have to commit to the bit, you know? Oh, someone's just parked like right outside my drive. That's odd and a little bit terrifying. And now you all know that that is happening. And you're probably all like, not relevant. Why are you talking about that? It's very off topic. I'm sorry. It was very off topic. So anyway, back to what I was saying. Hot diluting juice is where it is at. People who have never tried it, what are you doing with your life? People have forgotten about it. Come on, bring it back. Do it for the nostalgia. I can't believe I haven't been drinking this every night of my life. I'm obsessed again. So that is what I'm shouting out as my Korean essential. And then for the poem of the week, I actually have to do a little side note. I know I don't really do recs or anything anymore, but I just watched, and I know it's bad because I've literally just watched Netflix all day. But like I said, duvet day, very necessary. This new program on Netflix called Wellmania. And I did just watch it all in one go, because I am that person. It's my toxic trait. Other than eating like most of a packet of crisps and getting to the crumbs and being like, nah, no thanks. Putting the clip on it and putting it back in the cupboard and then buying a new packet and for never eating the bottom of the old one. But that was a real tangent, but that's another one of my toxic traits. We're just in a chatty Cathy mood today, it appears. And I also don't know why I ever started saying that, but I did. Anyway, regardless, back on topic. Poem of the week is from a book that I just picked up from the library. Support libraries, they're important. Support local businesses, support libraries, support small, and support Newington Library, because I just adore that library. But anyway, very off topic. It's a poetry book I picked up that I am just started reading called Umbrellas of Edinburgh, which, incredible name, we love to see it. And it is edited by Russell Jones and Claire Askew. But today we are talking about a poem that I just flicked to immediately from the contents page, because the title is literally one of my favorite things in the world. So I had to read the poem first, which is I normally read in order chronologically. Just couldn't help myself this time. And it's by Jane Griffiths. Yeah. And it's called The Charity Shops of Stockbridge. Anyone who's from Edinburgh, anyone that's been to Edinburgh knows these places are where you find gold. Incredible, wonderful, divine charity shops. So, The Charity Shops of Stockbridge by Jane Griffiths. The Charity Shops of Stockbridge each Saturday invite you to shelter or save a snowing globe, a case of ammonites, not from local stone, a jar of marbles, and an Indian mirror, shuttered and barred as if reflections were winged. Item, a pair of glass earrings, cherry-formed, items, an ostrich feather, a painted stool, a boy's own satchel, a necklace, ostensibly amethyst and pearl, a corduroy skirt, a shovel, a stopped clock repeatedly, a book of words, for music perhaps, a complete run of Vanity Fair item, a loose grey cardigan, in its pocket, a painted bird, items, a box of spice jars, some doll's house stairs, a tapestry kit to stitch something loosely that loosely resembles the bridge you cross each Saturday with these makings of a tenement or finger hold on the sky stretched grey above the shared laundry line, line lifting in the wind that is home and away. Oh my goodness, I finished it. I'm so sorry. Jane Griffiths, did you write a tongue twister on purpose? Like, why were some of those words so difficult to say? It took me... This is very, like, I normally don't do this at the end of a poem. I normally go straight into the interview, but I'm keeping it real. It took me, like, 6 takes to record because I kept not being able to pronounce ostensibly, which now, look, I can say it perfectly. I said necklace wrong at one point. I was trying to say the word that I never say, mirror, but I always say mirror, and it's mirror, and I'm really bad at saying it wrong, and I was trying not to mess that up, and I was calling ammonites amenities, and it was very stressful, and I probably did butcher the end a little bit with the laundry line lifting, but that's a tongue twister. Laundry line lifting, you know what I mean? That's a great alliteration there, Jane Griffiths, and also Griffiths is a hard word to say as well. So I just had to keep it real for you all there, but love the poem anyway. So it's called The Charity Shops of Stockbridge, which was by Jane Griffiths. And now we're going to get straight into the chat with Anna. Enjoy. Okay, hopping in here for this week's Charity of the Week. This week, I wanted to shout out a charity who I felt like was quite important to talk about right now. The cost of living crisis is still very much happening in and around the UK. And I felt like it was important to shout out some charities in the next upcoming weeks that are doing things to help people in these situations, including this charity that I'm going to talk about today, which is the Edinburgh Food Project. The Edinburgh Food Project is, well, it has a food bank first and foremost. So that is something incredible that they do already, which are so important right now with everything that was going, that is going on with the cost of living crisis. So many people are struggling to get the supplies that they need to survive in this country. So having a food bank available is super important. Food banks are not only important to give food to, and to give money to, but also to give time to. They literally run solely on volunteers. So it is so essential that if people can spare any time in their week, that they try and help out with their local food bank. And Edinburgh Food Project in particular has the mission to provide emergency food supplies and support to people in crisis, while working with people, communities, and their partner agencies to address the underlying causes of food poverty. So if you want to get to know more about them, all their different affiliations, the different projects that they have happening, get in touch with them, find ways to support through donations, volunteering, then just head to edinburghfoodproject.org and you can find out everything you need to know there. Enjoy this week's episode.
Hello, Anna, and welcome back to Fancy of Leather. It is so lovely to be back with you. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me back. I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's so weird to be, like, recording in person.
I know, but it's so funny because, like, I think a couple of times we recorded and it was through Zoom because I was, like, back in Brazil, and no, it's very funny.
No, I was thinking that. I was like, what a full circle moment. Like, we were recording,
I know,
talking about being in Scotland, talking about lockdown, and we were literally in a lockdown, and now we're like sitting here in the same room as each other, talking to each other, and I'm like, that's so wild. Like, we literally met on a Zoom call.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Very 21st century.
But when we talked last time, I didn't know that I was coming here. Like, I even, because I'm studying, so I didn't even have my full application or anything. So it was just very, very random. And then when I decided to come here, I was just like, well, that's where Kirstie is.
Yeah, and I like saw on your Instagram and I was like, wait, what? I was so shook. I messaged you. I was like, yeah, we have to meet up. Like, what happened?
Oh, hey, so I saw you're here.
I know. That was literally my message, I think. I was like, are you in Edinburgh? I actually think so. I think I was like, wait, you're in Edinburgh? Like,
so, hey, girl.
Yeah, and then you were like, oh, I'm living here. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, oh, we have so much to discuss. And then we went to Soderbergh, right?
Yeah.
Great cafe.
Yeah, it was very nice.
It's a solid cafe. Right, anyway, though, for people that don't know you or are new to the podcast, maybe you haven't listened to, like, our old episodes, which if you haven't listened to it, you should, maybe don't listen to all the old episodes, but you should listen to the one with Anna. Can you, like, introduce yourself, explain, like, tell everyone a little bit about you, yeah, what sure. brought you here, that kind of thing?
So, my name is Anna. I'm 27 years old. I am a master's student at Napier. I'm studying journalism. I literally moved here to Edinburgh to study journalism. And I'm originally from Brazil, and I'm also the host of the Brazilian Point of View podcast.
A great podcast. I was on it recently, so just a little plug for you there, everyone. No, what's also funny is you're now at the uni that I did my undergrad at, so it's even more of like a connection. Because there's actually, people might not know, but there's actually 4 universities here, yeah. Which sometimes I'm like, is there? But there is 4 universities here. So it's pretty wild. How are you enjoying Napier?
I'm loving it because it's so hands-on, and I think for my course it makes so much sense. Because it would be just ridiculous to study journalism and just be on theory all the time.
Yes,
it
wouldn't make definitely. Sense. I also think Napier just has a very kind of like nice energy.
Yeah, I love it.
I think it has a good community feel to it that you don't really get at other unis. Like I did my master's somewhere else and I didn't, to be fair, I did do it in a pandemic, so it might have had an impact, but it didn't have the same kind of community aspect. It's like everyone that goes to Napier, like, loves that everyone else, they're like, oh
yeah,
the Napier spirit, and I'm like, this is corny but also kind of cute, and I'm like, I miss that. So why Edinburgh? Like, how did you end up, what was kind of the process?
Well, I applied for 5 schools. At the end of the day, I was pretty much in between Napier and University of Sussex, and then it was basically just a pros and cons list. And I think I had like 2 cons for Napier and the rest was just pros, while I had like a few cons to University of Sussex. So it was very clear when I put on paper.
And you did your undergrad in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? So why not Brazil? Like, why did you want to go abroad?
It's very theoretical. It's very theoretical. Our master's is not like very professional, and I think here in Europe it's a little bit more. So, and I wanted to go abroad anyway, like it was pretty set for me. So, because I went to Boston in 2017, just semester abroad, and I was just like, yeah, I don't think that I can do Brazil for too long anymore. And I knew that I wanted to go abroad, so this was just, the whole situation just fit all together for me to come here, I guess.
Nice. No, I love that. I think it's interesting, like, hearing people's different stories of, like, why they moved somewhere or why they didn't move. In terms of Edinburgh, is there anything that's kind of surprised you about Edinburgh? Is there anything that you weren't expecting that when you got here were like, oh, that's really different? Is anything kind of stood out to you? Any, like, culture shock or anything like that?
The accent is just crazy.
Really?
I did not understand the accent for...
Like mine or other people's? Minutes.
No, other people's.
I feel like mine is like...
No, yours mine is fine. Chill. But other people's, like... Really? Even my flatmate sometimes these days, she says something and I'm just like, excuse me, what are you saying? And I asked her to repeat like 3 times.
Wow, and she's from Edinburgh or where is she from?
She's from Dundee.
Oh, okay.
But Glasgow, cannot understand for my life. But it took me like a couple of weeks to actually understand everyone and be like pretty set. The weather is actually not as bad as I thought it would be, because I thought that it would be literally raining like all the freaking time. And it's just not. Like, yesterday was sunny.
Yeah, it was nice yesterday.
So it's not as bad. I thought that by this time of the year it wouldn't be so cold, so that's very disappointing.
It was a little bit too positive.
That's stupid. Like, I should be able to at least not be wearing my coat anymore. It's almost April, for early. God's sake.
No, but that's like May.
Jesus, we'll get there. And also, I didn't think that Edinburgh would be so near the beach, which is very nice.
Like, it's coastal. Yeah, that's true. People don't know
Know, because it was one of my cons for Edinburgh.
Really?
One of my two cons. And then, actually, it's not a con because it's fake. Like, research didn't work. So I just
the beaches are not amazing, cons. Though. Like, the coast is nice, but the beaches are not, like...
Oh, New Haven is pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I love New Haven. Portobello is not, like, the best. No. But, like, if you just
the cafes in Portobello, though.
Oh, I've never been. Because I went on, like, a random Tuesday, and it was very disgusting weather.
Yeah.
But it was nice in terms of just, like, I need to be near the sea. Like, I want to smell the sea. It was just on point.
That is good. I mean, I wouldn't recommend swimming though in the sea, even in summer.
My flatmate went during the winter, I think it was December.
Oh really?
I was just like, you're insane.
Yeah, I used to do that. I still do it sometimes, but I do have a wetsuit. I'm not the one that's like going in.
Yeah,
in
she skins. Just went with a bathing suit.
Really?
Yeah. It was crazy.
Crazy. Quite nice, quite refreshing though.
Yeah.
But the water in Brazil is hot, right? Well, not hot.
Not necessarily, no. It's even depends where you are actually.
Okay.
So in Rio it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be like warm if it's just something different that's happening, but in the northeast is very like nice beaches, nice water, nice everything's amazing in the northeast basically. But
and then in terms of living here, obviously your English is impeccable.
Thank you.
Like, it's amazing. But is it kind of weird that you're speaking it all the time now? Because obviously at home, has that been an easy transition, or do you still find yourself like thinking differently, or do you think in English now? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what's that like?
I don't think it's different, but I think it was the whole podcasting situation because
that made it easier.
Yeah, because it wasn't so crazy for me. So I got pretty used to it. I think in English sometimes I'm just like, what the hell are you doing? You're Brazilian. Like, you get a grip. But I talk to a lot of my friends from Brazil, and it's not like I don't speak Portuguese whatsoever. Like, I speak to my family, and I'm always on Twitter, which is, like, a lot of Portuguese. So
okay, so you kind of still have it.
Yeah, I don't feel... I don't miss it quite a lot as I did, like, 10 years ago when I went to the Netherlands, that I was just, like, missing that as well. But it's also about the technology these days. There's just so easy.
So, yeah, so much available.
Yeah.
And have you kind of tried to find a Portuguese community here, or are you focused more on kind of immersing yourself more into like the Edinburgh culture and the Scottish culture, and kind of like not, do you know how some people come somewhere and then they just spend all their time, which like no disrespect, but like they spend all their time with someone, all the people that are like from their own country, and it's a bit like, oh, maybe like branch out. Have you kind of focused more on branching out?
I do understand like going back to your culture, because it's a lot of cultural shock. I am in a Brazilian WhatsApp group, like, I think. And I know Brazilians here. Mm-hmm. I just really don't go out with them, actually.
So it's more like a comfort kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I have a few Brazilian friends, actually, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just not something that is super constant, I would say. Mm-hmm. I see more my friends... I speak English too, so not necessarily Scottish, but like because I'm in school, so I speak to my friends from class all the time, and then my flatmate, she's Scottish, so it's just very, it's not super a lot of Portuguese here in my life.
You noticed things in Brazilian culture? This sounds really weird, but like when I left Scotland, I was like, wait, I didn't know that was Scottish. Is there anything that you've kind of noticed that when you came here, you're like, oh, wait, is that not like a thing here? Or is that not being something that you've really noticed at all? Like cultural things that you're like, oh, I didn't realize that was something that was like common just in Brazil, but not anywhere else?
Not that I can think of now. But something that was very crazy to me was how people here, they don't like to identify themselves as British.
Uh-huh.
And they hate English people, and they do not like the royal family. Like, I wasn't aware of this distinction between two. And then even my international friends are just like, oh, bloody English, and I'm just like, that's weird. But like now living here, like I completely understand this separation, and I fully support Scottish independence.
I know. I think that one thing is funny as well. I always have to preface when I like when people say that, I'm like, I don't hate English people. Like I have lots of friends that are English that I adore. I just don't like the English government. Like I don't hate, like, I have lots of incredible friends that live in London, other places in England, too. I don't even think want to be English half the time. They're like, can we not, like, attach ourselves onto Scotland? But I can say with full support that I am not a royal person, and I will never, ever be a royal person.
It's so funny.
I try to be, like, respectful of the fact that there are people, I think sometimes people go too far and, like, being, like, celebrating someone's death, and I'm like, that's a bit harsh. Like, I don't think you need... That is still someone's, like, grandparent or their mom. That's a little bit too far for my liking. But my dad is from the Highlands, so I think that probably has a massive impact because, like, his family, and I suppose my family, because it's his family, were very impacted by the royals and what they have done to Scotland. So I think that plays massively into my my experience of the royal family because they've taken so much of our heritage and so much of our culture. So it's very hard to be like, oh, that's amazing that they're there. And I'm also a bit like, what do they do? Yeah. Why are they still there?
I honestly just love the tea on the royal family.
Yeah.
All the drama. I'm so nosy. So I just love knowing everything. And I have like professors who met like Princess Diana and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
And I'm just like, tell me more.
Like, I think that she's like a really, she's probably the only person I've ever, I wouldn't say I loved her, but like I understood her in the royal family. And I suppose now with all the Meghan Markle stuff, I kind of get where she's coming from. I also had, I think the British press is the most like awful
thing
ever. And like the media, the way that they portrayed her is so disgusting and so problematic. But I do also think like, if you don't want to be in the public eye, then maybe don't keep doing interviews a little bit. Like I respect like that she wants to share her story. And I think that's, I appreciate that. I watched the program. I agreed with a lot of it. But part of it is a bit like, okay, but you're trying to get away from this. So like, why do you keep putting yourself back in front of the camera? Which I get because she was an actor before. And I definitely really feel for her situation because I think it's a disgrace the way. But I think the British press has always been one of the biggest problems in this community, in this country. I think it's like very like old white man. The British newspapers, like, across the board. There's so much news. I think the BBC is an amazing, sad example, amazingly horrific example of, like, how the media is so from one lens. Like, even when you watch, like, it's, like, for stupid things as well. Like, Andy Murray, literally in the news, is British when he wins and Scottish when he loses, which is such a stupid small thing. But it's just, like, why? And it's, like, little things like that all the time that you're, like, why is this a thing? Like, what is this all about? So, no, it is really interesting. What is, like, your favorite thing about Edinburgh? Like, what do you love about the city?
I love the whole sightseeing situation.
Nice.
Because it's so pretty. And my favorite place here is Prince's Gardens.
Oh, nice.
My favorite place at all. Like, yesterday, I was kind of crazy. So, I was just, like... Oh my god, the weather's so nice, it's sunny. So I literally was just like, oh, I'm gonna take a walk, and then I walked around the city for 2.5 hours. So
but it's such a walkable city though.
It is. Like, this is so nice. And everyone's just like, oh my god, like the hills and stuff. It's not that crazy. Come on. You can totally walk around.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be great. Like public transportation here, I think it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like
normal.
Yeah, we'll have some issues, but you know. But yeah, I just love seeing the city because it's so beautiful and it's the parks and stuff. So I think this is my favorite thing, probably.
Nice. No, I love that. I think that is one of the things that's so great about Edinburgh. Is there's so much to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's never, like, you never run out of different streets and different, like, even me, like, I have kind of half grown up here, like, with my grandparents living here as a kid, and there's still places I haven't been and things that are new to me all the time that I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing, like, I've never heard of this place before.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to have that all the time, and I think I love the blend of nature and architecture in this city. I think it's
no, it's beautiful,
really well done. And I think what's interesting is I never noticed, like, this is so random, but like the quality of air here for a city.
Oh yeah.
Until I go to London and then I come back and I'm like, oh, this is like amazing. And it's funny because my friend who lives in London does the same thing whenever she comes here and she goes back to London. She's like, I live in this all the time. And my hair, like the water here is a lot nice, not to like toot our own horn, but the water here is so much better for my hair. Whenever I go to London, I'm like, my hair is a wreck. My skin is not working. Like, this is not the life for me. But no, I think that is definitely something. Is there any similarities that you've noticed between Brazil and Scotland that you didn't expect, or maybe that you did expect, that you were like, oh, that's cool that they're in common?
Hmm.
Obviously not the weather, but...
Yeah, no, the weather is just not it. Similarities. It's just, they're just so opposites. Well, this is gonna sound like so weird, but this is something that I totally noticed on my first week here. So, but this is not necessarily for Brazil, but for Rio.
Uh-huh, okay.
So, people in Rio are dog lovers as much as people here in Edinburgh are dog lovers.
I love that. It's so weird. Great fact.
Because I was just like, and my first week here was just like, oh my god, like everyone has a dog in here. And I was like, you know what? It's just like Rio. What the hell? It was something so weird. And I just texted my mom and she was like, okay, well, that's nice, I guess.
No, that's fair. I mean, I'm not a, I hate to say this, but I'm not a, I'm a little bit scared of dogs. Not like scared, wary of dogs. But living in Edinburgh has made me like dogs more than I used to as a kid. So there must be a lot around if it's like changed it for me. And to be fair, I've never thought about that, but you actually have a point. Like there is a lot of dogs everywhere.
This is so random.
On the buses, like in the pubs, like they're everywhere. Mad. That is a good fact. So you're studying journalism.
Yes.
As a master's. Why journalism?
So fun fact, I actually wanted to do journalism for my undergrad, and then my family kind of convinced me to do law. Like, I know that ultimately, like, I went into law myself.
Yeah, but there's always an element of someone influencing you. So,
basically, I was told that I would be able to still be a journalist if I did law.
Okay.
False. Okay, I tried. I looked for jobs when I was just like done with my lawyer career because I was a lawyer, like a proper lawyer for a year and a half. And I couldn't get it because I didn't have the degree for it. So I was planning on taking my master's in law, and then I just changed to journalism because it was just like, you know what, like if I have to spend 1/3 of my day working for 5 days a week for the rest of my life, I might as well do something that I love.
Yes.
Even if I don't have like the best salary, the best of the best of everything, like if I have quality of life,
yeah, it's worth it. That's
what matters.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I decided to take a chance. It took a little while for my family to actually accommodate the idea.
Oh, really?
On them. Yeah. It took a few weeks, I would say, but they were properly shocked. Like, are you joking? But at the end of the day, like, my parents were very supportive of it. Not all family members were supportive. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Because my family is quite traditional on the career path.
Yeah.
Situation. So it's kind of just like a disappointment from me coming from law to go to journalism and not like the other way around. But like whatever, I decided to do anyway, and I'm very happy with what I'm doing. And I'm just like, I look back to my lawyer days and I was just like, oh my god, I was so miserable.
Yeah, I think at some point you have to recognize like your own value in life, right? And sometimes it's not worth pleasing everyone. It's such a life lesson, but it's not worth pleasing everyone else. And I totally know what you mean.
Yeah.
When you go into something thinking like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. But it takes a lot of strength to recognize, like, I need to leave this until I actually leave. Because I think a lot of people complain relentlessly and never do anything about it. But I love that you took the agency and made the best call for yourself. Because I think that's such a great thing to talk about and to let people know that like everyone can do that. Like you don't have to be like a rich white man to take a chance on yourself.
Yeah.
Which I think is important.
I mean, to be honest, I was still quite of kind of worried about people's reactions. Yeah, like, of course. It's this human element, though. Kind of.
That's everyone. Yeah. I think people that say that they're not worried about other people's opinion are false. Lying.
Like, that's absolutely
it's not possible unless you're a robot. Like, you're lying.
Yeah, I felt bad.
Maybe you're good acting, but.
I felt bad, like, when people reacted badly or anything. Of course. But then I would just so be natural. Like, you know what? Not even everyone didn't like Jesus either. Like, just trying to convince myself. But no, it required kind of a lot of therapy as well to be just like, you know what, like the people who actually weren't supportive, like I kind of expected that already. Still hurt a little bit.
Well, it's hard when people let you down even though you know they're going to let you down. Because you want to be surprised.
Yeah, well, I was not surprised. It was very harsh on me, a few reactions. But my friends were completely supportive, and even now that I'm here, because I've had like some amazing opportunities, and I've done like a really nice and fun work in school, and I'm just like that type of friend that's just like, do you want to listen to my work?
Well, that's so nice though that you're excited about it. It makes such a difference.
And my best friend, she told me that, she was just like, oh my god, like, you're so happy, like, and I love your work, like, you're meant to be there, like, you're doing the right thing. And it meant the world to me, because I don't think a few people from my family are still convinced about that, but now that I have this physical distance from them, it doesn't matter so much.
Yeah, you don't, it's not so in your face all the time.
Yeah, but I love what I'm doing, and honestly, I think at this point that, like, now I'm taking action, like, I'm here already, now I actually don't care.
Nice. I love that, though. That's nice that you got to a place where you own it enough to say, this is what's best for me, and it's not really your business anyway.
Yeah,
totally. It's up to me to live my life. Like, you're not living it for me. Because that's the thing, isn't it? People always want to judge other people, but maybe they should look at their own life first. Like,
literally.
It's always the people that are upset about their own life that are judging your life. And it's like, maybe just fix your own problems. Like, you can fix someone else's later. Like, one thing at a time. But no, I love that. What is kind of the goal, the dream in journalism? Is there a particular part of journalism that you're keen to be involved in? A particular job that you'd love to have or, like, work towards? Or just, like, an area of journalism that you're like, that's where I feel like I belong, or is that something you're still kind of figuring out?
I'm still kind of figuring out, because I found out that I like different things in different areas.
Okay.
So I really like radio. I really love radio. I think it comes from podcasting as well, so working with audio. But in terms of like TV, for example, I really love editing. I really love being a camera operator for whatever, like, random as fuck.
Cool.
But I love that. And I like writing news. So, specific things like that. But I think radio for me is quite strong and just, like, serious causes as well. So, not necessarily something feature, but, like, feminism and stuff like that.
So, like, things that are important.
Yeah.
Like, powerful.
Yeah.
Kind
I would say
of journalism.
Like that.
Not
in
like
any
the,
type of journalism, but things
like
that
trash.
Are powerful.
Not like, look who's making it with who on the streets.
Yeah, no, but, like, even I don't feel completely fulfilled when I write, like I've done this just now for our magazine, restaurant review. I don't feel fulfilled writing that. Like, magazine is 1,000% not my thing. I don't think it is. I think it was more serious would be fine.
Yes,
but
I get that.
But it's just a review. Like, it was okay and stuff, but it doesn't fulfill me.
Well, I think if it's not something you're passionate about, then it's not. And if you want, it sounds like you want to use your voice for things that are important and things that are beneficial. And I mean, like, restaurant reviews have a place in the world. But I don't think they're the most important things to be raising your voice, but I think there's bigger things to discuss. And I think that the power of journalism is so, so great. And I think it's amazing that you want to use your voice for those bigger things and not kind of focus on the celebrity trash culture, which we all need in our lives.
It's awesome.
I
love like reading that, but I don't.
Oh,
like
yeah. You don't
want to
write it. I respect that. I love reading it too. And I need like a little break from my own life.
I love consuming this type of content, but just like me being the writer, I don't think so.
I think that it consumes you too much. I think you're not consuming it anymore. It's consuming you. So that's why you have to take the step away. I do. Yeah. I love a little bit of trash as well. It's I think everyone needs trash.
I love reality shows. It's necessary. Reality shows, for example. But
I also think reality shows have some of the best actors on them. I'm not gonna lie. Like, they're acting on some of them. I'm like, so that is good. Next level. Like, you're playing a character and you're doing it so well that people on Twitter are convinced that you're actually like that in real life. And half of you probably aren't. And I love it. I'm so here for it. I'm like, you get the money. Get your bank. Why not? Like, yeah, why not?
Have to do.
Exactly. I mean, unless it's like really problematic, then like, maybe don't do that. But if it's just like a silly thing, I'm like, I can get down with that.
Yeah.
I love just, yeah, I agree. I think that reality TV is so underrated. It's just nice to turn off from the world every once in a while. Oh my God,
I love focusing. Especially when I have a lot going on in my life.
Yes.
Like, I love focusing on other people's problems. It's amazing.
I think it also makes you feel better.
It puts into perspective your own issues. It's just like, you know what? It's my life is so fucked up right now. But look at this poor girl. Like, what is happening to
her?
And
it's so funny, the things that they argue about. I'm like, how is that even an argument?
It's just so funny. But it really puts everything into perspective. And I love that for me.
Yeah, I agree. I love that for me, too. I think it's necessary in life, yeah. too.
This is how I turn off.
Oh, me too. I think I can be one of those people that's watching something intelligent. I'm like, my brain is done for the day.
Yeah, I like it, but I have to be in the right
frame. Oh, in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to sit and analyze something at like 9 o'clock on a Friday night. It's not going
to
happen.
And I love this duality as well, that you don't have to just like either be on the trashy side of things or just like
you can be a versatile person.
Just come on, just give yourself a break sometimes.
Yes, I agree.
Or just engage a little bit more, just balance.
Very true. Very true. That's kind of like the fangirl thing, isn't it? It's like people seem to think you can't be like a fangirl, so to speak, like in air quotes. But like be an intelligent, well-rounded woman. And I'm like, you can be both. Like they both actually go pretty well together, in fact. But it's like that whole thing of like it being so looked down upon. If you're a woman that loves something, like it must be a negative thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what reality TV, its main demographic is women.
Mm-hmm.
And that is probably why it's looked down upon. Because it's women watching it. If it was men watching it, I don't think, like, if it was mainly white men watching it, I don't think it would be as looked down upon. I think people would be like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I do. Yeah, it makes sense. I've never thought about this before.
Yeah.
But just, like, when the pandemic started, we were having this edition of Big Brother.
Yes.
And Big Brother had its falling
mm-hmm.
for many years. I loved it because I love the drama. But so people did not watch it. And then because they were stuck at home, they didn't have anything to do, they started engaging.
Okay.
And suddenly, like, it wasn't really cringe, or it wasn't a guilty pleasure anymore. It was just, like, everyone was watching, so it was popular. It's just, like, you are not watching Big Brother, what a loser. Just, like, it was the other way around, but everyone engaged, like, so much, and it was a cool thing again. And it was just, like, you know what? This is cool for you, but I'm my natural element here.
Yes.
And, like, why was it so bad before? Like, you literally watched, you gave it a chance, and you see how good it is.
Even that's like kind of just like the surge of Taylor Swift right now that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, I've always been a fan, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't have a problem with people coming to something late in life, but Taylor Swift's main demographic has always been women.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a period of time where she got so much hate from so many people, and it was absolutely horrific. So like everything about it was just like, why are we all like this?
Yeah.
And now, because she's got this killer show and she's doing so well again, everyone's in love with her again in the media, and everyone's like painting her as this like amazing person, and then they will just tear her down again. Like, that's how it will go throughout her whole career. I can guarantee they will paint her up and then just to tear her down, and they'll do it consistently throughout their career. And I just find it so like mind-blowing, but I'm also like, that must be so exhausting as a person to not know how you're going to be viewed one day to the next. And it is definitely primarily in the media, women that are brought up to be teared down. The men just kind of stay on the same wavelength. Like, not all, some of them definitely get teared up and down. I think Harry Styles is probably a great example of someone that they're like trying to make look really good, and then the other people are like, oh, I hate him now because he's so big. But then you get people like George Clooney, who I'm like, he's probably pretty like problematic in a lot of ways, but everyone's like, oh, he's amazing and he's great. And it's like...
Tom Hanks.
Yes, exactly.
Tom Hanks, yeah. But you know what? Like, I was terrible in terms of Taylor Swift when I was a teenager, but I was a very annoying teenager as well. and then I just didn't care about her for quite a few years. And then I watched her documentary, Miss Americana.
So good.
It was so good. And I was just like, you know what? She's actually amazing. And then I started liking her.
Which is so fair, though, because, like, that's valid. It's the people that just like her to, like...
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I like the cool thing. And I'm like, well.
But when you get to know her, because it was different for me, like, I liked her songs and stuff, but it was just kind of like, oh, like, I'm not feeling her too much. But I didn't actually know her. I watched Miss Americana. I was just like, you know, what's
she's pretty amazing. I think it's because the media perception was so...
Yeah, it was terrible.
Massive. And it was terrible. It was so viral, though. It was global. The way that she was portrayed in the media was so global. And the way that they did things, like, take, like, Ellen DeGeneres's massively problematic interviews where she like puts pictures of people up and then it's like, oh, is this your ex, is this your, like, that is so problematic. Would you ever do that to a man? Like, looking at that interview now, I'm like, how was this ever acceptable to be like, did you date him, did you? And then one of the pictures was her brother, and I'm like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And it's also like, they could have just gone on one date. Like, she's now like in her early 30s, but like, she was in her 20s. Like, pardon me, but I've been on quite a few one date situations myself. If you show me a picture of them on the screen, I probably wouldn't even know if I dated them or not. Like, some of them I'd be like, well, I don't know, did I? Like, I blocked that out of my memory. It was too traumatizing. Like, it's so unrealistic to be like, oh, that's, she's so terrible dating all these people. I'm like, it's not really that.
Yeah, well, she's single,
people.
So.
But also, like, so are lots of men in the industry. Like, Ed Sheeran was dating a lot of people at the exact same time. No one was talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
Just crazy. So interesting. Do you think that it's going to be difficult to discuss feminism, like, within journalism? What do you think, what challenges do you think you're going to face with that?
Men.
Phil, stop.
No, honestly, because they complain so much. They say, they genuinely think that feminism is against them. They just don't understand. So it is problematic on this type of situation. But like, I had to make a TV segment for one of my assignments this trimester. And I did on the Women's March. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice. It was an amazing vibe and stuff. But I can definitely see like how they just marching around would annoy men because of no good reason. Actually,
yeah,
you know, I think it's just this small-minded type of people, and not all men, honestly, because there were a few men there in the march, which I talked to them, they were so nice. But it's hard to talk about something that is controversial when it's just like basic human rights, and it happens quite a lot. Yeah,
it's like, why is it controversial?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So there's a lot involving on it, and just like patriarchal society and very bad history. So it's just like, there are some men who do not like seeing men, like, women happy at all. So I think that will be it. But you know what, like, I saw on Twitter once, it was just like so nice. It was like, men don't like women wearing this or that. So who do men like? Man, clearly. Men only like men. Men don't like women. Men just freaking hate women. And like, yeah, generalizing, but you know what I mean.
No, I get you though. It's a very valid point.
Yeah, I think that would be it, because it's very sad that feminism is still very controversial. Does it make sense?
Yeah, and it's sad that it still needs to exist on such a high scale. Like, it's so systemically ingrained into every element of every society, and it's so like hard to even as a woman, you're constantly recognizing things that you didn't realize before were like a disadvantage to you. Like, I'm constantly being like, oh god, like, I never even thought about that. Like, when you think about the one recent, wasn't that recently, like a couple of years ago, that I'd never thought about before, was like the cycle, like, being set up, the day cycle being set up perfectly for a man's body.
Yeah.
And having no consideration for, like, how a woman's body functions and how it is like used and how it like the energy is used and when we are in our prime and when we need to rest. And I thought it was so interesting that like, oh my God, like the whole industry, like not even one industry, like every industry in the world is set up on this 9-to-5 environment. And I've never considered the disadvantages that that gives me immediately just because of my biology. Like, it's so crazy to think about these things that just are so ingrained in society that you never even consider them.
Yeah.
That it's wild, like getting older and recognizing a lot of these qualities that were kind of hidden from you as a child, or you just weren't aware of because you were a child.
Yeah, but it's just like the little things in the daily life as well. Because mm-hmm. you know what, like in my class, for example, we're 14, 12 women, 2 men, and the journalism corridor in like at school, there's like this bathroom of men, like 3 bathrooms.
Uh-huh.
There's just one women's bathroom, and it's like not women's bathroom, it's for all. Just like one. And then there's always like this huge queue, or we have to go to the library. And the men just go in and out, like there's nothing. And then there's men who actually enter the women's bathroom, like the for all, because it's fair enough, but it's also just like, why? So it's just like so stupid. How come 90% of my class is women, are women, and then we don't even have like a decent bathroom situation?
That is very, very annoying. I actually have that a lot in schools. Very interesting, because schools are obviously, I mean, as a generalization, most primary schools that you work in have more female staff than male staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in schools where like they have more male bathrooms than female bathrooms. And I'm like, this is so illogical. Like, I get it. Like, you want an equal staff, but you should then have equal toilet cubicles at least. Like, don't have like one that has more than the other. But kind of like taking it back a little bit to Edinburgh, do you see yourself kind of longer term here, or what do you think? Do you see yourself living back in Brazil, or what? Obviously, you don't have to think super long term. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not talking like 10-year plan. I don't think that anyone has a 10-year plan.
No.
But what, where do you see yourself right now? If someone was to say, like, where will you be after your master's is finished, what do you think your answer would be? Or what is your ideal situation?
So one thing that I know is that I need to secure a job after I graduate. The ideal situation would be to secure a job here, because here people know Napier, people know how good the university is, you know how good the course is.
Yeah, so it's an advantage.
So it makes sense, because I know that if I just disregard everything and just like, you know what, whatever, I just want to go back to Brazil, they're going to be like, okay, this school, like, we don't know it. So it doesn't make sense. Because it's not like a super, like, internationally renowned school. So
definitely,
it wouldn't make sense. And I don't think that I would be able to secure a job just like that. So the idea would be, yes, to stay here in the UK for a little while and then get the working experience.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so
I could rely
that over
on that.
Nice.
And then see what happens, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I just simply don't know. If I get, like, an amazing job in Brazil, probably, like, with amazing conditions and stuff, maybe I would consider.
Yeah.
But as in a general basis, Brazil is not a really good place or safe for journalists.
Okay.
So I am leaving my options very, very open in terms of, like, other countries in Europe or even other continents and stuff. But I think that I would need to start my career here, because this is where people know my foundation and my degree.
Nice. Well, just to finish off the episode, what is your small wonder of the week? So what is something that you've been loving, not even of the week, just in general, something you've been really enjoying lately, something you're grateful for, anything at all that you can think of?
Oh, this is going to sound so cringy.
It's okay. But we love cringe.
I am very, very grateful for my friends.
That's not cringy, that's so nice.
But I think for quite a few weeks now, I've been relying on them so much for like multiple situations.
Mm-hmm.
They've been amazing. I've been seeing my friends a lot this week. And like I didn't wake up feeling really well yesterday or anything. And then my friend came over, she stayed for like 1 hour or something, and it completely changed my day.
Lovely.
And I've been relying quite a lot on friends. And do you know like this meme that is just like, you want to sorry, you want to kill yourself. And then you just see your friend and just like, oh my god, yeah, actually life is really good. There's a meme that is like this. But yeah, it's pretty much like this. They really increase my humor.
Serotonin.
Yeah, just, it's amazing. Nice. So I'm very grateful for them.
Nice. I love that. And then final thing, what is your Korean essential? What is something that's been keeping you cozy? Obviously, the weather is something you're struggling with.
Oh, yeah.
So what is something that's been keeping you, like, feel warm and cozy inside and getting you through our long winter, which we are coming out of slowly but surely? Yeah.
My electric blanket. Amazing.
Oh, great rack. On the bed?
Amazing. Yeah.
Nice.
So good. Like, I literally toast and I'm just like, yes, I'm in my element now. Love it.
Nice. That is a perfect rec, because I actually recommended recently, not my electric blanket, but like my electric throw blanket. It's like right over there in my living room. It's the one that you like have when you're watching TV on your sofa.
Nice.
Next level.
Yeah, I literally just prefer to watch TV like in my bed.
Because, well, that's what I used to do. And then my mom got me that for Christmas and I was like,
nice.
Wow. The game has been changed. Things have increased. They have improved. I've lived here my whole life and I'm still like, I want to be warm and cozy. No, thank you so much for coming on, and I'll let people know where they can find you, where they can find the podcast to follow along more on your adventures, to keep up with any journalism projects you have coming up in the future, and of course to keep up with The Brazilian Point of View, which is such an incredible podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was very fun. I'm working in, like, recording in person is just so fun.
Yes, so nice just to connect with people in the human aspect and not through a screen.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. Thank you so much for having me back.
Of course, no problem. Where can people find you?
So you can check The Brazilian Point of View on Spotify, Apple Podcast, but also my Instagram at The Brazilian POV Podcast.
Perfect.
And I think that's it for now. I don't have a website or anything.
That's
not yet.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
We'll never know. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a good week. Bye.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope we have helped cure your Sunday scaries. Unless, of course, you're on Easter break like me, in which case you're living your best relaxed life. Although I still do feel like I have the Sunday scares a little bit, because I don't think it's like really hit home that I'm like not at work tomorrow. But if you don't, I hope we help cure your Sunday scaries, make you forget about them for a little while. Or maybe your Monday scaries, your Tuesday scaries, your Wednesday, oh my goodness, that's a tongue twister. Wednesday scaries, Thursday scaries, Friday scaries, or Saturday scaries. Yes, I really did just name all the days of the week. Yes, I'm proud of myself that I was able to do that and I didn't mess it up, although I nearly did. Maybe I'll do it in French as well. Ready? Your Lundi scaries, your Mardi scaries, your Mercredi scaries, your Jeudi scaries, your Vendredi scaries, your Samedi scaries, and your Dimanche scaries. And no, obviously I don't know how, Dimanche. I don't know how to say scaries in French. And also I don't know why I just did that. It was very off topic and rogue and unnecessary. But that pretty much sums up my personality, so you're welcome for that. And if you love that content, even if you don't, but you just love our content in general, you can follow along with all things fab on Instagram at TikTok and TikTok at Fancy Blether, and you can check out our website, fancyblether.com, and stay tuned for a brand new episode next Sunday, where we'll be talking about something very exciting. Bye, have a good week.